Remember what our associate producer Eric Douglas said earlier about how we always just assumed he'd become a father but never really considered the specifics? I was the same way. I thought my future would someday include ultrasounds and nursery decorations. My wife Whitney had other ideas. She suggested that instead of going the traditional biological route, we should become foster parents. After some long conversations, she had me on board too. So we began 10 weeks of classes, where we learned all the rules and got advice on how to deal with issues kids in foster care might experience. We started turning our home office into a kids' room, too. This was tricky since we didn't know how many kids we'd be getting, what their genders would be, or how old they'd be. So we got a set of bunk beds, some gender-neutral bedding, a few toys, and figured we'd sort the rest out later. After that, we had someone out to our house to do a home inspection. And just like that, the day after Easter 2019, our home was open, as they say in the foster care world. By that Wednesday, we got a call to see if we'd take a 5-year-old girl. By Friday night, Whitney and I were parents. It was a strange thing to have a kid in the house at first. It's a little bit like getting a roommate who can't cook her own meals or do her own laundry or groom herself without prompting. But somehow, we figured out how to take care of her, and she seemed to enjoy living with us. Earlier in the hour, we heard Mark Davis talk about how he felt when he held his newborn daughter in his arms, that biological response that reprograms a man's brain. I didn't get that. Certainly, I felt a deep responsibility to take care of this little girl, and I liked spending time with her, but there was no spark. For me, fatherly love came like a slow rising tide. I was developing a bond, I just didn't notice it as it was happening. And then I looked at her one day. I think I was following her up a trail in Kanawha State Forest. And I realized that I felt a new kind of love in my heart, one that wasn't ever going to go away. Eventually, it became clear our girl wasn't going away either. It's a complicated thing adopting a foster child. A lot of bonds have been broken in their lives for them to become eligible for adoption. The first priority of foster care is always to reconnect kids with their biological families, but if that fails, the goal is to find a safe, loving, forever home for these kids. A few months after our little girl came to live with us, our foster care agency asked if we'd be willing to adopt her. This time, Whitney and I didn't even have to talk about it. The answer was, without hesitation, yes. So we began months of paperwork and anxious waiting. Until you get your day in court, it feels like a trap door can open at any moment and she'll be gone. We'd had that experience before. About 6 months after welcoming our first foster daughter, a second little girl came to live in her home. Then one day Whitney called me at work. DHHR had decided to move her to a biological family member who would pick her up from school that day. She lived with us for 2 weeks. I'd helped her with her homework. I'd fixed her breakfast. I'd hugged her goodnight. She was becoming part of our family. Now, I wouldn't even get to say goodbye. What if that happened with this little girl, too? Luckily, I didn't have to find out. Courtrooms are still closed because of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, but last Thursday, we got our day in court via Skype. That morning, I sat her on the couch and asked her a few questions.
I'm excited.
What are you excited about? What does adoption mean?
I'm gonna say who. I'm not gonna be in foster care anymore. I'm gonna stay with the person that I was in foster care all the time. I love you.
I'm glad you're gonna be our little girl forever and ever.
Me too.
As the hour approached, we all got dressed up. Whitney had bought them special dresses for the occasion, and I put on a tie for the first time in 3 months. Then I propped my laptop on the coffee table and logged on. There was the judge and the court reporter, our lawyer, and the adoption specialist from NECO, our foster care agency. The whole thing took about 15 minutes. Our lawyer asked us a few simple questions: where we live, what's our wedding date, and whether we believe this adoption was in the best interest of our family. And then it happened.
DHHR is consenting to this adoption. That the child doesn't own any real personal property of any substantial value. That the petitioners are 15 years older than the said child. Child not an Indian child, as defined by the U.S. Code. Congratulations, it's a girl.
Now you three squeeze together. This is okay. Maybe when the courtroom opens again, we'll get the official shot. But this is the closest we got. Right. One, she's two, home. Three.
And through it all, our girl had been motionless and expressionless. I worried what was going through her mind. But once it was over, she said she didn't want to speak up because she didn't know any of those people on the screen. Well, fair enough, kid. I think it was a strange experience for all of us. The rest of the day was a big party. The grandparents all came over and stayed 6 feet apart. But we ate hot dogs and hamburgers and sheet cake. Our girl devoured about 2 dozen chocolate-covered strawberries one of Whitney's aunts made. And while we usually try to watch her sweets intake, we told her all bets were off that day. After all, we missed out on 5 years of her life. We've got a lot of celebrating to catch up on.
I hope you find something to love, something to do when you feel like giving up. A song to sing, something to love, it'll serve you well. Something to love, it'll serve you well.
Till next time, thanks for joining me as we journey throughout Appalachia.